Rescuers searching islands ravaged by a tsunami off western Indonesia fear the death toll of more than 300 is likely to climb because hundreds of missing people may have been swept away. Elsewhere in Indonesia, villagers held a mass burial for some of the 30 people killed when one of the country's most volatile volcanoes erupted. We spoke to Philip Carlsworth, head of delegation in Indonesia with the International Federation of the Red Cross.
Well, the disasters are two quite different events. The first is the eruption of Mount Merapi, north of Yogyakarta. This is an event that we've encountered before recently in 2006. This eruption is on a considerably larger scale and with the potential to become significantly much larger as well. So at this stage, the government has issued the alert status to the highest that it can, applicable to the surrounding area around the mountain, and the evacuation of some 40,000 people has occurred as a precautionary measure to ensure that they're not at further risk from subsequent eruptions. On the other hand, the earthquake and following tsunami in the Mentawai group of islands off West Sumatra is fairly localised, but probably very devastating in the way in which it occurred. The waves came at night when people were in their homes, and although there was quite a significant jolt from the earthquake that caused the event, I don't think the expectation was that the tsunami was as severe as subsequently it turned out to be. This is why we're having the difficulty in communicating with the area, getting a real feel for exactly what has happened there and what the needs of those affected are going to be.
Philip, how hard is it to reach people at this stage?
In Mentawai, in particular, the only access is by helicopter or by sea from Padang on the west coast of West Sumatra. At this time of year, it's traditionally rough seas and a western wind, and it's also the rainy season, so that the weather is not conducive to comfortable sea passage between Padang and the islands that have been affected. Similarly, with air operations, it's fairly difficult to get aircraft here and sustain them over the area that we're looking at for some time. So what we're doing is initially following up on the initial search and rescue teams of the government put in with the Indonesian Red Cross teams that will be looking at specific areas of vulnerability in the affected communities, coming up with an assessment to enable us to assist in the development of a definitive plan of action so that we can look at the long-term recovery of the communities that have been affected.
Just looking at what work the Federation is doing with regarding medical facilities, providing immediate services to those affected, how has that been going?
Thus far in Merapi, the volcano eruption, it's going well. Sadly, there have been fatalities on the mountain, and I think it's probably attributable to those people that were slow in evacuating. But I think on the whole, because of the plans that were put in place well before the eruption, we've been able to accommodate the needs of those who have been concentrated into displacement camps. And that will be the case until such time as the mountain ceases its activity and people can return to their homes. Having said that, there's no guarantee that when they do return, their homes will be in a habitable condition and their needs can be met immediately. I mean, the place is covered in ash, in some cases quite deep. Where there have been flows out of the mountain itself, crops have been destroyed, houses have burnt, cattle has been killed as well. So it's still a wait and see, and at this stage the government has not issued any warnings less than the alert that is currently in place, but we expect that tomorrow they'll look at the next 5-day period and either downgrade or review the current alert status that is in place.
How well is that collaboration going between yourselves, aid agencies in general, and the government?
Again, in Java, the response has been as good as we could expect under the circumstances. Local authorities have mobilised well. As I said, they've done this before. Similarly, the involvement of the military and the Indonesian Red Cross has worked well. So I'm comfortable that things, as they progress, will be pretty smooth in terms of the operation. When it comes to the other situation in Mentawai, once the difficulties of actually getting onto the islands are overcome and a base established, then I think it will be fairly easy to get out and have a look at exactly what the needs are. And as I said, the assessments are ongoing. I think we could rely on our experience in previous tsunami events to determine exactly what the needs of the affected populations would be. And these start with shelter, health and care, clean water, and so on. I think the issue for us is to ensure that whatever we're able to get in is measured, because the resources available to transport will be in high demand, and we have to ensure that we use the space available well, so that we don't bring in stuff that's not needed. We just target vulnerabilities that will be assessed at the moment.
Finally, Philip, we're looking at a steady rise, steady death toll. Presumably we're going to see that continue to rise in the next few days.
Yeah, I think in the absence of any definitive information, all that we've seen thus far is an escalation of the death toll. At this stage, we're up above 200, with some 400-plus still missing. So our expectation is that the death toll will probably rise to somewhere between 600 and 700. And this is of an affected population in the area that was struck, around about 10,000. So it's quite a significant loss when you put it in those terms. But those that have died, we really can't do much for. It's those that are left behind that we are targeting at the moment to ensure that their needs are met. And these extend from medical assistance, including personal support programs, and more substantial needs in terms of resources, which I've already mentioned.